Richard Baxter, a famous English Puritan preacher. By the way, he's the one who said, or made the famous statement, that he preached as a dying man to dying men and never sure to preach again. These immortal words have been attributed to Richard Baxter. When Richard Baxter lay dying, his loved ones and friends gathered around his bed. And in his dying breath, Richard Baxter gave these words, "Lord, what thou wilt, where thou wilt, when thou wilt. More than I want to live, that's what I want for you. More than I want to have 20,000 in Sunday school. More than I want to have the biggest Sunday school in the world. I want for you to say, Lord, what thou wilt, where thou wilt, when thou wilt." Friday night, I stood where I stand now. I conducted a wedding service for two of our finest, one of our fine young preacher boys in college, and one of the sweetest girls our church has ever turned out, Barbara Wright. And as they walked together down this aisle, I said, "Oh God, may it always be what you want, and not what we want, and not what they want." Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not an old man, but I'm 47. And I've learned something. I've learned the happiest place in the whole world is snuggled up right in the center of the will of God. The safest place in the whole world. Not my will, but thine. Not where I would go, but where you would want me to go. Not what I would do, but what you would want me to do. Not when I would go, but or when I would do it, but when you want me to do it. Last night, I stood here again, pronounced a lovely couple, husband and wife. John Tompkins, who's the son of the, what's the title, his dad? Not editor-in-chief, not editor-in-chief. What? Publisher of the Hammond Times, our local newspaper. And Cindy Hardcastle, one of our loveliest young ladies. And as they walked out, I prayed, "Oh, God, help them to do God's will." Nobody ever found happiness doing what he wanted to do. Nobody ever got happy doing what he wants to do. Nobody. "Well, yes, that's my life. I'll do what I want to." Yeah, you will. And you'll wreck it, too. You'll wreck it, too. I can recall when I was a boy, my dad was a big man. We used to have a Model T Ford. And I can still recall saying, "Daddy, could I drive? Could I drive?" And my daddy would set me in his lap. And I'd put my hands on the steering wheel. And my dad would put his big hands on mine. And I'd say, "Mama, look, I'm driving." She said, "You better look where you're going, son." And after a while, I'd say, "Daddy, I won't drive by myself." You kids can't imagine me being a little boy. I was the cutest little boy you ever saw. We wore short breeches when I was a little boy, and I had the prettiest. But anyway, I'd say, "Daddy, I won't drive by myself." And my dad would say, "Now, son, you can drive better if Dad holds on to your hand." "I won't drive by myself." And Dad would take his hands off mine. And I'd drive. And soon I'd see a little girl out beside the road. And or I'd see some boys playing baseball. And I'd steer off to the ditch. And my dad would put his big hands on mine. He'd say, "Son, you can't make it by yourself. You're not old enough yet. You're not old enough yet." He'd put his big hands back on mine and safely we'd go down the street. Oh, beloved friend, you can't make it by yourself. Only way in the world you're going to make it with happiness and joy and fulfillment is let the Heavenly Father put his hands on yours. I thought of the words this week of Baxter, "Lord, what thou wilt, where thou wilt, when thou wilt. I received a phone call this week from Joe Boyd. He said, Jack, my brother Proctor died. We're burying him at 2 o'clock this afternoon. I thought you'd want to know. Proctor Boyd was my hero. When I was 17, he was my Sunday school teacher. He was everything in the world that I wanted to be as a man. Everything. I can still recall that man standing before me and trying to teach me the things of God. One thing he used to say, I thought about Richard Baxter when I heard about his death. He used to say, Jack, and boys, oh, let me tell you something. Only God knows the influence a godly Sunday school teacher, faithful to his class, loyal to his calling, dedicated to his work, the influence he can have on the lives of young people. I can see that godly man. Oh, he was slim. He was trim. He had a winning personality. He had a handsome face and a strong body. He was dedicated. He was clean. He was all that I wanted to be as a man. And I can hear him say, with tears rolling down his cheeks, young men, do what he says to do. Where he says to do it. When he says to do it. How many times I heard him say it. Young men, do what he says to do. Where he says to do it. When he says to do it. I was only 17 then. I'm 47 now. But I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that's the secret to all the happiness of life. This old sin-cursed world wanting to be happy. And the truck drivers say, we won't drive till we get more money. Well, you get more money, Buster, and you won't be happy. You don't get happy because you have money in the bank. You don't get happy because you got a little popularity. You don't get happy because you got more gas in the day. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, there is only one happy place in the world for any person, and that is right in the center of the will and the plan and design of God for his life. That's the only happy place. And I can say now, after 30 years, since that godly man stood and taught me the things of God, do what he says do. Where he says do it. When he says do it. Then he used to say this. He said, young men, there's a reason you're here. Find it. There's a reason you're here. Find it. I did find it. And I've tried to follow it for those 30 years. And I can say now with the psalmist in the 40th Psalm in verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O God. And in Psalm 143, verse 10, teach me to do thy will, O God. And in Matthew 6:10, thy will be done. And in Hebrews 10:7-9, lo, I come to do thy will. And in Colossians 4:2, to stand complete in all of the will of God. That's what Christmas is all about. It was God following the divine plan for redemption so you and I could be saved. What was Bethlehem all about? It was the divine, pre-existent, eternal Son of God condescending to do the will of God for his life, to yield his own will to that of the Father, to yield his own will to that of the one who made the design that we might be saved. That's really what it's all about. God has a plan for your life. Listen to me, every baby in the nursery over there this morning. God has a plan for that baby's life. God has a plan for your life, young person. God has a plan for your life, teenager. God has a plan for your life, grandmother. God has a plan for your life, senior citizen. There's a reason why you're here. God has a plan for your life. There's a reason. It may be a specific time. It may be for a specific purpose. It may be, for example, like Esther or Jochebed or Jonah, or the maid who pointed Naaman the leper to the prophet in Israel. Or it may be like the lad with the lunch basket, or the widow who gave the two mice. It may be that God sent you here for some typical or for some specific purpose, something that God wants you to do. at a particular hour, or it may be that God has a long projected ministry like he had for David or Peter or John or Paul. It may be that, but whatever it is, find it. I said time and time again, I've said to Brother Joe Boyd, I said, your brother Proctor meant more to me than all the other Sunday school teachers I had combined. And Joe Boyd said the other day on the phone, he said, Proctor, he said, Brother Jack, you'll never know. You will never know what you meant to Proctor. You see, when he was a young man, not even 40, I guess, he was afflicted with some kind of an unknown, mysterious paralysis. And he couldn't control his body. And that man who once used to walk as I wanted to walk, suddenly just walked like that. And that man who was the picture of alertness, and the picture of propriety, and the picture of coordination, that man suddenly began to get paralyzed. And he was paralyzed for the last 8 years of his life. And he'd say to Joe, I feel like a failure in life. And Joe said, but Proctor, don't forget what you did for Jack Hiles. He said, just the other day, he said, Jack Hiles, Proctor, don't forget him. And he said the thing that he held on to was the fact that though he thought he was a failure in life, the thing he held on to was the fact that he influenced one little teenage boy, a poverty-stricken kid who came to church without decent clothes to wear and had a drunkard for a dad and had the town drunk who lived in his house. He said, don't forget what you did for Jack Hiles. And he said the only thing that made life worthwhile to Proctor Boyd in the last 2 years of his life was the fact that he influenced my life and that he touched my life. Listen to me. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. It doesn't matter what kind of house you enjoy. It doesn't matter what kind of food you eat. It doesn't matter what kind of clothes you wear. It doesn't matter what kind of degree you've got. It doesn't matter how big a job you have. It doesn't matter if you're the boss or the fellow who sweeps out the place. The only thing that matters is to come to the place in life to where you say, oh my God, I do not know what I need. I do not know where I ought to go. I do not know what I ought to do. I'm completely dependent upon you and your will, and to influence somebody else's life to do the same thing. Oh, if you just knew how many times I pray. I sit here at this pulpit and look around the building and I say, oh God, help that one to do your will. Help that one to do your will. There's nothing in this world I want for you more than just the perfect will of God for your life. Just what he wants you to do. Now, these three things. First, do what he said, what he wills. What he wills, what thou wilt, said Baxter. What thou wilt. Do what he wills. Do what he wills. Whatever you want. But you say, I'll tell you, I want to be... No, not what I want to be. Well, I've got my dreams. No, I don't have any dreams. Light a match to your dreams. Burn it up. And just say, I want to do what God wants me to do. I thought this morning, I was praying for my preacher boys. And I thought about the boys most every Sunday morning early. I get on my face and I say, oh God, bless my boys today. Bless my boys today. I thought, as the organ was playing a while ago, Tim, it must be awful good to hear it again. I can recall when I used to go home and go to my church. Nobody could play the organ like Luella Cobb, Chris Wood could. And nobody could sing like our choir. Oh, I know we had some old goats up there and some old mules that brayed instead of sang. I know that. But nobody could sing like our choir. And nobody could preach like my preacher could. Oh, I know there were better preachers, but he was my preacher. Nobody could preach like he could. And I prayed for my boys. And this morning, I was praying for boys. And I thought about them. And I thought about the day when John Beckerson came to my office and he said, Brother Hiles, I'm burning up on the inside. I'm just burning up. Here he is, a graduate of Bob Jones University from the School of Business, an accountant, a good job, successful young accountant, the peak of his life. And all of a sudden, the Lord, he said, Brother Hiles, I'm burning up. I'm burning up. He said, I've just got to preach. And he said, God's called me to preach. And then he put his head on the desk and he said, but I don't want to leave here. I don't want to leave here. He said, I'd rather die than leave First Baptist. I want my family to be in First Baptist. The children that we have, I want them to be in First Baptist Church. But he said, God's called me. And this morning, the will of God for him is to stand in a new church up near Detroit, Michigan. And he's preaching there this morning. Only to be where he wants me to be. Only to do what he wants me to do. I can recall, I was thinking about my boys this morning, praying for Earl Dukes. Earl is preaching somewhere this morning. I was praying for him today. And I said, God bless Earl. That man, almost 40 years of age, maybe 40 now, I don't know, around 40, has a family. One boy nearly grown. Another one that thinks he is. And Earl came down the aisle. He was coming to my office. I said, Brother Hiles, in my office is a preacher. Something's missing. And I can remember the look on his face. It was a look of turmoil, a look of frustration. And I talked to him. And one night Earl came down the aisle and he said, Brother Hiles, God's called me to preach and I've got a preacher. I'm going to die. Anybody that knows Earl Dukes that's seen his face in the last year, there's a new radiance all about him. Why? He's found the will of God. He's giving up his business, but he has a radiance. Why? He's found the will of God. He's going to leave home to pastor a church somewhere away from home, but he's got his radiance. Why? He's found the will of God. That's all that matters. That's all that makes you happy. That's all that's worthwhile in life. Just to say, oh my God, you put me here not to just eat and drink and make a living and have a family and not just to feed my body and eat 3 square meals a day and get a job and live in a house and eat and breathe and sleep just for a few years, 70. You put me here. There's a purpose. There's a reason. There's a pattern. There's a design. Do what he wants me to do. I don't want to embarrass little Janice Reed. Little Janice is upstairs. She's dwarfed in her growth. She has little short legs, and she's sort of stooped. And I'm not being unkind to her because I admire her tremendously. I recall the day she came to my office for counsel about her future. And I said, Janice, you do something for God. You do something for God. And Janice is graduating. When, Janice? In June? In June, she's graduating. And she's going to be a school teacher in a Christian school. Just a little crippled girl. I recall, Becky, when LaVon Canavan came to my office. She's crippled. One of Becky's, if not Becky's best friend, one of her best friends. And LaVon could barely walk. And there came a time in her life when she thought she wouldn't be able to walk as an adult. She came to my office and said, Brother Hiles, I'm going to go to Bob Jones University for a year. I said, not just a year, LaVon. Not just a year. She said, Brother Hiles, I don't want to go to college for a long get graduate. I just want to go for a year. I said, LaVon, don't you do it. Don't you do it. I said, you're a cripple. I said, let God use you. Do something big for God. And I even scolded her in it one time. I even got mad at her. Acted like I was mad at her. And she said, I'll do it. And after the first year, she came home to quit. And I told her to go back. I was going to beat the fire out of her. I can whip any cripple in this church. Especially lady cripples. LaVon, she didn't want to go back, but she, and listen to this, she said to the house, I don't want to do it, but I'll do it for you. She went back and graduated from Bob Jones University. I was down in Florida, Pensacola, Florida, preaching recently. There was LaVon and her sister, forgot her name all of a sudden, Joy Canavan. And LaVon's a lovely school teacher and has been for several years now. In the Christian school there. Let me tell you something, kids. Let me tell you something. You don't know what's best for you, but he does. You don't know what you ought to do, but he does. But you say, I've got my dreams. Burn them. Burn them. Burn them. But you say, I've got my hope. Forget it. Make your hope one thing, and that is to do the will of God. What is the design for your life? Do what he wills. But that isn't all. Do not only what he wills, but do it where he wills. What thou wilt, where thou wilt, when thou wilt, do it where he wills. I was thinking last night about one day when I was wrestling about whether to come up north or not. Oh, the dear Lord knows I didn't want to come up north. In the first place, heaven would not have been heaven to me if Yankees were there. I didn't want any Yankee to be in heaven. There was another place that I warned you. I didn't know you were here, LaVon. I didn't know you were here this morning. And LaVon's here. But heaven would not have been heaven, but I knew the Lord was calling me. And I recall one day, I drove out toward West Texas, and I spent a good part of the day just driving around. And I said, Lord, I don't want to go up north. I said, let me walk in the fields. He said, no, walk in the town. But I said, there are no flowers there. He said, no flowers, but there's a crown. But I said, the air is thick, and there's nothing but noise and din. But he wept as he led me back. He said, there is more. There is sin. But I said, the sky is black, and the fog is veiling the sun. He said, souls are black, and they walk in darkness undone. I begged for more time to be given. He said, my child, is it hard to decide? It will not seem hard in heaven to follow the steps of thy guide. So I took one look at the fields and cast my eye toward the town. He said, my child, won't you yield and exchange your flowers for a crown? So into his hand went mine, into my heart came he. I now walk in a light divine in a path I dreaded to see. I didn't want to come. I didn't want to leave Texas. I didn't want to come up north. I had the hardest thing at the time in the world, saying, Lord, wherever, I'll do what you want me to do. But Lord, where? Let me decide where. I was driving out in West Texas trying to find what I ought to do. Strange thing. I looked out and I saw a tumbleweed. Some of you folks know what tumbleweeds are. Tumbleweed, it just blows where the wind blows. And I watched that, and the wind would change direction a little bit, and the tumbleweed would go that way. The wind would change a bit, and the tumbleweed would go that way. And the Lord said, Jack, that's the way I want you to be. I want you just to let me blow you where I want you to go. And I said, oh, tumbleweed, I envy you. The Heavenly Father decides where you go, but I don't want him to decide where I go. I don't want to go. I envy you, tumbleweed. I drove down a little town out in West Texas, west of Fort Worth, down the main street of a town, and I saw a blind man, and he had a seeing-eye dog leading him. And that dog was leading that blind man across a highway going through town. And I watched that man as he followed that dog. And the Holy Spirit said to me, that's the way I want you to be. And I said, oh, God, it's a shame for that man to follow that dog more than I follow you. I saw a little dog. While I was out that day, I saw a little dog on a street corner. A man had a cup and had a little dog doing some tricks. And the man would hold up a hook, and the dog would jump through that hook. The dog can't sing like the dog at our house can sing. We have a dog at our house that when I get the piano and go, you go, oh, oh. We're going to have a special one of these days here. And that's the kind of singing I like. But I sing in the same key. But anyway, I saw a dog, and the fellow would say, shake hands, and the dog would shake hands. And then after it's all over, people were clapping and dropping money in the cup. And that dog looked up at his master and seemed to smile and ask if he was pleased. And I said, oh, God, I wish I were as willing to please you as that dog. Then I saw some kids playing a ball game. That day I drove for a long time. I saw some kids playing a ball game. And there was a third base coach. He was making all kinds of, like that. The little kid was looking down at third baseline watching the coach. He's trying to get a sign from the coach. The coach is giving all kinds of signs, you know. And the kid is watching. He's watching. That's third base. First base down that way. He's watching third base coach. And I said, that's what I need to do. Listen, I said, Lord, I wish I could be like that tumbleweed. I wish I could be like that fella following that seeing-eye dog. I wish I could be like the little dog that did the tricks just to please his master. I wish I could be as ready to do what you want me to do and as careful to look as that third base coach. And I drove back home, and I drove to my mother's house. And I went inside her house on Westchester. And mother said, son, you're not going to go to Hammond, are you? And I said, yes, I am. And I got on my face at her knees like a little boy. And I said, I'll go where God wants me to go. What if I hadn't have gone? What if I hadn't have gone? Let me tell you something. There probably wouldn't be any Hammond Baptist High School. There may not be any Hiles Anderson College. It'd just be the Anderson College. That'd be a terrible thing. Sometimes it's not easy to do His will. Sometimes there's something I want to do. I got on the phone. I called my pastor. And I said, Brother Sizemore, I don't know what to do. How can I know what to do? He said, Jack, the first thing you've got to do, lose your own will. You'll never find the will of God as long as you have a will of your own. And I, not as readily and not as sweetly, but as definitely, like the Savior said, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. Richard Baxter said, what thou wilt. Then he said, where thou wilt. And then he said, when thou wilt. When thou wilt. When thou wilt. I was lying in bed Friday night. I was thinking about Proctor. Boy. I saw him standing before my class. I saw him stand erect. And I heard him say again, young man, do what he says to do, where he says to do it, when he says to do it. Kids, one of these days, you may be in a distant state or distant city, and the word's going to come, somebody's going to call you long distance. And they're going to say, Brother Hiles, just that, I thought you'd like to know. And you're going to stop and remember the days here at First Baptist, 23,024 in Sunday school. You're going to stop and recall the growth and the blessings of God. I hope you'll hear me say, as I hear my old teacher say today, do what he says to do. Where he says to do it. When he says to do it. Only to be what he wants me to be every moment of every day. Yielded completely to Jesus alone every step of this pilgrim way. Just to be clay in the potter's hands. Ready to do what his word commands. Only to be what he wants me to be every moment of every day. He always knows best. He always knows best. Here we are on planet Earth. 2,000 of us here this morning on planet Earth. Earth is about to give us, Earth's about to quit giving us all the food we need. And here we are somewhere out in space going around and around and around and around. A little old ball. And here we are stuck to it. Held to it like an ant held to a baseball as it goes round and round and round and round. Here we are, little insignificant, frail creatures made of dust. How dare you think you know what's best for you? You don't know what's best for you. But out yonder somewhere in the wide expanse of God's creation, there's a God. And that God is the one who breathed the breath of life into me. And that God who holds the world in His hands and holds the world in place, that God knows every one of us. Every one of us. He wants this one over here, and this one here, and this one here, and this one here. And the only way we creatures of dust will ever be happy is to say, Thou, the God who made us, and Thou, the God who loves us, and Thou, the God who breathed the breath of life into us, show us what we ought to do, where we ought to do it, and when we ought to do it. And we'll do it, not my will, but thine. Let us pray. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I want to talk to you, just you, not your neighbor, but you, not your husband, but you, not your wife, but you, not the person in front of you. I want to talk to you, deacon, choir member, Sunday school teacher, young person, senior citizen, visitor. I want to talk to you. You know you don't even know the names of all the parts of your body. You don't even know the names of all the parts of your body. You don't even know yourself. How can you know what's best? God made you. He made you for a purpose. He has a plan for your life. The first thing in that plan is for you to right yourself with Him. The first thing in that plan is for you to make it right with your God. The first thing in that plan is for you to come back to the God whom you've left. The first thing in that plan is for you to get converted. The first thing in that plan is for you to be restored to fellowship with your Creator. How do you do that? Through Jesus. Through Jesus who was born in Bethlehem. Through Jesus who lived the perfect life. Through Jesus who died on the cross. Through Jesus who took your sins in His own body and paid the penalty for your sins on Calvary's tree. That's how you do it. This morning, may I ask you a question? Have you made it right with your Creator? This morning, may I ask you a question? Not your neighbor, but you. May I ask you a question this morning? Have you made it right with God? Have you been saved? Do you know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? That's the purpose for it all. God made you in the first place that you might fellowship with Himself. If you have, man by nature has broken that fellowship, and if you come to God through Jesus, that fellowship can be restored. May I ask you a question? Have you been born again? Have you been born again? Is your name written in heaven? Do you know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? I wonder how many would say this morning, Brother Hiles, I know I'm saved. I may not be all I ought to be, but I know. I could take you to the place where I settled it. I could take you to the spot. I could show you right there. I was born again. I know. Don't think, hope, wish, maybe, might. I know. If I died today, I would go to heaven. Would you lift your hand, please, way up high? If your hand is not up, may I plead with you? Make it so. Drop your hands, please. Thank you. I wonder how many would say this morning, Brother Hiles, I could not raise my hand. I do not know that if I died today, I would go to heaven. I do not know that my name is in heaven. I want to know. I want to be ready to meet God. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. First on the lower floor. How many would say, pray for me? I don't know that I'm going to heaven, but I want to know. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please, on the main floor, way up high? Would you raise it? I'll pray for you. You don't know that if you died today, you'd go to heaven, but you wish you did, and you'd say, pray for me. God bless you, young lady. God loves you. God bless you, fellow. I see you, too. God loves you. God loves you. And so do I. Who else on the main floor would say, include me in the prayer? I do not know that I'm going to heaven. God bless that dear couple. God love you, and I love you too. God bless you. Who else would say, pray for me? I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please, on the main floor? Lift it way up high. I want to pray for you. Way up high. Who else? On the main floor. Would you say, include me in the prayer? Lift it way up high, and I'll pray for you. God bless you. I see that hand, young person. God bless you. Who else on the main floor? The balcony on my left. The east balcony. East balcony. You'd say, pray for me. I want to be saved and know it. Lift your hand, would you please? Way up high, would you raise it? You don't know that you're ready to die, but you wish you did. Raise your hand for prayer. Lift it way up high. God bless you. In the center balcony, would you say, include me in this prayer? I do not know that I'm going to heaven. Yes, God bless you. I see your hand. God bless you, fella. I see yours. God bless you. Who else? In the center balcony, raise your hand way up high. The balcony on my right, would you lift your hand and say, pray for me that I may know that I'm going to heaven? Raise your hand, would you please, way up high. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you, fella. Who else in the balcony on my right, the south balcony, you'd say, include me in this prayer? I want to know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Lift your hand, would you please? Lift it way up high. If you don't know you're going to heaven, but you wish you did, would you lift your hand? Now heads are bowed. Heavenly Father, I pray for these. Bless that couple back there. Bless that lad on the front row of the balcony. Bless this one up here on my right, the two. Bless the one back here on my left in the young people section and others. I pray now they'll say yes to Jesus. Now heads are bowed. Fella, say this prayer now, would you? Lady, say it. Teenager, say it. Child, say it. Say it silently, but say it and mean it. Dear Father, go ahead now. Say it under your breath, but say it. Dear Father, I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died for me. And I accept him now into my heart as my Savior. Today, I become his disciple, his follower. Would you? Would you? In a moment, we're going to sing. When we stand and sing, I want you to leave your seat. And I want you to come to the nearest aisle. I want you to come down the aisle and tell me that you're making today, December 23rd, 1973, the day when you become a follower of Jesus Christ. Would you come? How many would say before we sing, how many would say, Brother Hiles, I have been saved, but I have not been baptized since I got saved. Would you lift your hand, please? Way up high. Way up high. You've been saved, but you've not been baptized since you got saved. Would you raise your hand, please? Way up high. Yes. Are there others? Yes. God bless you. Are there others? Are there others? All right. Now, on Christmas Sunday, 1973, you come and obey Christ in baptism. It won't make you a Christian, but it'll make you a better Christian. It won't save you, but it'll let folks know that you're saved. So you come this morning. Then there are those that ought to say, I want to join this church today. I want a church home. I want to belong to a Bible-preaching church that tries to center itself and its ministry around the Word of God. You come and transfer that membership. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts in this invitation hour. In Jesus' name, amen.